in a little tent. Like the river I've been running, running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time to come in, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it is.
Brian Owens and his dad, Thomas Owens, with Sam Cooke's classic, A Change Is Gonna Come. This was recorded in the aftermath of the killing of Michael Brown, age 18 at the time, by police officer Darren Wilson on August the 9th, 2014, in Ferguson, Missouri. Brian is the son, Thomas is the father, and it's a wonderful duo they make. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and on this day, crazy stuff is happening in Washington, D.C., as the House considers, or the House begins to formalize charges against President Donald Trump with an eye toward impeachment. Well, before we get there, and we are going to get there, we had a pretty traumatic situation play itself out here on the streets of South Florida. We had four people shot dead in an attempted heist. Two people, and these were considered considered partners in crime, went into a jewelry store and took whatever it is they wanted, and then made their getaway, or attempted to make a getaway, in a hijacked truck. It was a delivery truck. And they didn't make it. And it was a scene out of a crazy movie. And now there is a lot of investigation as to what was the conduct of the police in all of this. They were shooting by everybody and bullets flying everywhere. And it was remarkable that a whole number of people didn't get killed in the melee. But it was really jarring. People haven't gotten over it at all. And now there are investigations as to how the police conducted themselves in the course of this development, a violent development. As I said, four dead and confusion everywhere. You just never know. You have to be so careful. You're minding your own business. You think of all these people doing their thing. You know, they're taking care of their business and going about their daily chores. And next thing you know, all this firing is going on. All these bullets are flying. This is just a note to say, be very aware every day that the time is not promised to you. So live your life well. All right, so they're going on with this process in Washington, D.C. They are evaluating evidence and materials they have gathered in the past weeks that they have been exploring what exactly to do with Donald Trump. And it's going to go on for a while, but I wanted to get from you your initial reactions without us getting into this deeply. What are your initial reactions to the process going on now in Washington, D.C. To determine whether and what charges should be brought against Trump, if any? Bill from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrecht, and to all of the listeners.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, just stepping back one second to someone who on Friday made a comment that basically we should just get ready for 4 or 5 more years of Donald Trump and get a hobby and dig in. I think that is something that we cannot accept. And we've got to resist and fight this person on every level. So I just wanted to get that out there. That and it's good that some people have it, you know, like that, that they can just dig in. And, you know, I guess all the ducks in a row and everything, money in the bank and so forth. Most people cannot. And that means most people, no matter what their background is, including folks who are six-figure folks who are literally living paycheck to paycheck like many other people. But anyway, in terms of the process going on, I just see this whole matter of Congress doing double backflips to, especially the Republicans, to absolve the conduct of this so-called president. It's clear from the evidence that he is guilty on all fronts and has clearly broken the law and violated his oath. So there, my concern is that they allow him to slip and slide. The Senate probably will not convict, but I do think that that he should be impeached. And I think our hero is the Representative Al Green, who began all of this inquiry to way back when. So that's my approach, my feelings right now.
Well, what do you think about the fact that Al Green has, for all intents and purposes, been locked out?
I think that's a big problem. He should have been front and center next to Nadler on the investigation that's going on in the House. And because I think he gave the clarion call way back when no one wanted to partner with him and support him about the true person and the crimes of Donald Trump. And I think that they've locked him out because they don't want a strong progressive voice, especially one coming from a black man, to be front and center. And they feel that that would be somewhat divisive in the country.
Wow. I agree with you. I think, though, that the Democratic Party, and specifically Nancy Pelosi, has gotten away so far with a lot of stuff that I think covered up the injuries that she had inflicted on people of color, especially through the party. And Al Green was one of them. Al Green, by the way, was a founding member, one of the founding members of the Congressional Black Caucus.
Yes.
And he made it very clear he was not going to be.
Right. Hello? Hello? I lost you there.
Are you there, Bill?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I
completely agree with you. And Pelosi has a lot to bear in terms of how this whole process is going in the wrong direction. And Al Green certainly should be, you know, front and center.
Even if they were to come up with articles of impeachment against Trump, do you think the process will go to the end and bring about a definite solution, a definitive statement about Trump's conduct and whether he should be held responsible for it?
I really don't. That happening, unfortunately. I see there's, you see the Republicans on the committee that's investigating Trump and how they're using all kind of parliamentary procedures. There is a protest that this morning in the hearing. They're doing everything to just create and resistance to really bringing forth the truth on this matter in terms of that. So who knows what will happen. We are living in some strange a saga that no could ever write because it would be thrown in simply because it would be so unbelievable. But each day brings a new incredible things. It's mind-blowing. And I'm really quite concerned, especially if Mr. Trump ends up in office again. The country cannot withstand it, and we'll literally be seeing the military in the streets, in my opinion. It'll be an everyday occurrence of, like we're seeing all around the world, France and Haiti and Chile, and even in Russia, protesting. So all we have to do is, I don't know, just hope and pray for the best. I'm really concerned.
Me too. Thanks for getting us started today. 888-874-4888. As things start up today with the formalization of charges, if ever that is going to happen against Donald Trump, we're just discussing our own interpretations of what we have seen, what we have witnessed, what we have heard, what we have read. And your calls at 888-874-4888. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, you three.
Hello there.
And hello to our consistent listeners and participants. Yeah, as I look at this Trump trial, so-called impeachment, it reminds me of a post-truth period and a post-objectivity period. And it is sad to see, even when I listen to people on this particular forum, so articulate, but yet they're so articulately in denial. Did you know that Al Green said, "We must impeach him or else he will be re-elected. Think of that. And we hear statements like this, and people in this particular audience, who some of them are so academically educated, but yet they ignore truths like this. He said, think of this again. He said, Al Green, who many of you on this forum keep touting, one of his early words were, we must impeach him or he will get reelected. What does him getting reelected have to do with a genuine reason for impeaching him? Now, I also look at some of the other inconsistencies. Here is a case where most whistleblowers used to have to go in hiding from the CIA and the FBI. And this is a case where this particular whistleblower didn't have to go in hiding, but instead was so-called cozying up with the FBI and CIA. And everyone in this particular audience, along with others, but I'm more surprised of people in this particular audience who I thought would be so objective, and they are not seeing things like this, you know?
They're not seeing things the way you are seeing them, but that doesn't mean they're not seeing things the way I'm seeing it. But let me ask you, as is now the custom, to please stay on topic. You're already off on another tangent. We're talking about the process that is ongoing now. Whatever it is you think of it, we'd be interested in knowing what you think of it, but please stay on topic.
Yeah, okay, so I'm pointing out things about this trial. One other thing is this. Look at Schiff. That totally false reading, that statement that Schiff made. You remember when he so-called read what Donald Trump had said in the phone call? I don't know if you remember that statement. It was 100 miles away from what Donald Trump had said on the phone. And I'm not saying any of this in defense of Donald Trump. Here's the thing.
The idea of the conversation we should have today is looking at the process where it is now. We're not critiquing person A or person B. We're sure there is more than enough to critique them about. We're talking about the process and what it is likely to yield. What is it that the Democrats are after? Are their expectations reasonable? Are they proceeding in a fashion that would say, well, I think that they are on top of it, or I think they haven't covered their ground? I mean, what do you think about the process? I don't want this to be a thing about attacking this one because he said so-and-so and that one because he said so-and-so. We have not, as a group, listened to these statements or testimony. So just deal, if you can, with the overarching idea of here we are now at the point where, according to the process, the Democrats, and you know, it's mostly Democrats, are formalizing their charges against the president. What are you expecting out of this?
Utrecht, you're kind of tying my hands because everything I've said is congruent to your question, but I was showing you it in a dissected and minute thing. Like all the examples I've shown you so far, if you were being objective in this situation, you would digest what I just said. And first of all, this whole process is guided by just despise of this person and also the fact that they can't deal with the fact that Hillary Clinton lost the election, white, black, etc. And all of this, that's what's guiding this. Because what I'm pointing out to you is that so many misstatements and so many lies that we're all dodging from. For example, the way we have eschewed the whole Biden thing with his son getting all this money, so many things have been ignored. And then we're focusing on one particular thing. And I think
yes,
you two are guilty of that.
We're focusing on what essentially is the culmination of a process they have undertaken. You don't have to agree with the process, but we are just trying to get the overview of what your thoughts are about the process so far, without dissecting everything that occurred up until this point. Give us the big picture.
Everything that I see going on, it's all designed just to say he's guilty, and this is to ignore truth. That's what's going on by the so-called Democrats. And yes, there are times when I think if the Republicans were in the Democrats' position right now, they'd probably be doing the same thing. But I think we should stop this so that justice will come and truth will come. Because if you are able to imprison one or find someone guilty for something they didn't do, there will come a time when the table will be reversed, and you might be the victim of this. And that's what I'm saying. And we are all ignoring this and trying to sound intellectual.
We are not all ignoring anything. We are just having a discussion. And we are not fact finders in our discussion. That is not our role here. Our role simply is we are reacting as people who are somewhat familiar with the political realm. We have an idea of how things are going. We've been discussing this for a while. And this is the point now that they have reached. And we're just trying to figure out what our feelings are at this point. We're not trying to prove anything. We're not trying to disprove anything. We're making notations as the process has reached this point.
And the process is predicated on things. Like, I think you and others, if you weren't aware of the fact that I pointed out what Al Green had said, we must impeach him or else he, you would have took that as note and said, wow, I wasn't aware of this fact. And that should color how you are analyzing this.
I was aware of the fact because I reported it the very day he said it. So don't start now with this idea that I don't know what's going on. The very day he said it, I broadcasted live what he said, exactly what he said.
And I didn't hear you saying that.
I heard you speaking about him
wanting to impeach him, but you didn't say that he said this because he will be reelected. That's a different context. For him to say, let's impeach him, is different from saying, let's impeach him or else he will be reelected. That's different.
He said it himself, is what I'm saying to you. I played his speech. His entire speech. And then I commented after he spoke about the fact that not one person went up to him and patted him on the back or shook his hand or congratulated him for his effort.
But
if you didn't
congratulate him for saying, That would be wrong for him to say, impeach him so he won't be reelected. What's good to be congratulated about that? I wouldn't congratulate him on that.
That's not what we're discussing. We're not discussing what you would do. We're discussing what he did. It has nothing to do with you and your individual.
You just did the same thing. You said nobody got up and congratulated him. You just did the same thing.
I said it. I noted it because he was, in my view, very brave and very forthright in making a statement. Didn't matter whether people agreed with him or didn't agree with him. He made a definitive statement on the floor, and a statement that should have been made before And it wasn't. And he...
But you see, the fact that he said impeach him before so he doesn't get reelected made that statement unfounded. It was not well-founded.
Here's the problem. You are busy conducting a review of his speech. I am satisfied only to hear what he said. I'm not. I'm not a speechwriter.
That's really funny.
I'm listening to what he said. I'm listening to his intent, and he was right spot on, in my view. And now you're telling me, you know, you're critiquing the speech ex post facto. Where were you?
I am me.
Discussing his
I
speech.
Am me. I am me, and I consider myself to be
discussing the speech, and I'm not going to allow you to do what you typically do, which is whatever it is that is in your head as your point of view.
Lucas, I am on topic, but you want me to approach it the way
you're
you
not
want.
On topic.
I have
you're
not deviated from the topic.
You have to trust me that I know when you're on topic or where you're not. You're not.
That's not true. I am on, because you said so, that's not meaning it's so. I am on topic, but you're not able to digest the way I am approaching the topic.
Okay. So we'll move along.
Okay.
It's very, very important. It's very important. And I try very hard to overcome my natural inclination to just say, all right, let's move along. But I really think that you have something to offer, except you're in your own world. And no matter how...
Is that a way to dismiss the validity of what I'm saying, to say that? It's just like when people say conspiracy theory, to dismiss people?
It has nothing to do with the validity or the invalidity of what you say. You should know that when there is a discussion ongoing and you want to be a part of it, you ought to have some appreciation for what is going on in that conversation. But you want to, like I've said to you before, we talking apples, you decide that it's more important to discuss zebras. And
this is not true in this case. This is not true in this case. I disagree with
you
totally.
I don't like to argue. I hate it. So I'll stop, as will you, and we'll move on. Okay.
I
hate arguments. Okie dokie. Let me get to where I was. It's very important for people not to get entangled in superfluous matters. If we're talking about A, try to stay as close as you possibly can to A. Yes, we know you. We know that you know B and C and D and E and F. Except that's not what we're talking about right now. We'll come back to that some other time, and you can fill us in. But when you continually try to tell us what you're talking about is not the story, after a while it becomes tiresome to listen to you. It becomes tiresome. It becomes a job. It becomes work. No, go with the flow. I just want to hear your visceral reaction. I said it at the top. Whatever your reaction is, whatever you're feeling right now in this moment, let's talk about that.
I'm telling you, it's my visceral reaction, and my visceral reaction is based upon things that I've observed.
Okay, great. But you've had enough time on the air to make your point, and I'm moving on. James from Queens, you're on the air. James? Is James there?
Latrice, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're here. I hear your voice, and I thought we were continuing from Friday. I happened to call in, but only could listen because you ran out of time. And last I recall, there was a woman who from New York expressing how Trump was doing so well with the economy, in response to what I brought, thought, because I came late to your program as well, as to the question of how the hearings would be conducted and the presentation of whether, I guess, the presumption, and he clarified me in terms of the topic, being on topic here, is whether or not the Democrats or the House is making a good case for impeachment. Am I correct? So please put me...
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, I detected the sense of exhaustion in your voice, and I hear you because it's terribly frustrating to argue with people. And yet it brings to mind, even as I was listening to your discussion with the prior caller, who's called in many times as well, it's just, where is the critical thinking and clarity of thought?
Hello?
Because not only from the,
hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I'm agreeing with you.
Just on the merit of what's being presented, I'm not partisan to Republican or Democrat. I know they all have another agenda, both parties, and they agree on a lot of things, but this is what it is. But this impeachment is real. For me, I hold up nothing higher than the Constitution of the United States and said, did he violate that? Joe Biden, and the reason why it's not even that concern. Right now, Joe Biden probably should be looked at some point. Right now, we're dealing with this guy in this moment, at this particular time, and his crime. Not, well, did Joe and Joe commit a crime down the block? Well, he did, and he did. No, we're going to focus on this guy, who is the president. Did he violate his oath of office? And yes, he did. And it's just frightening to hear the logic that people who call justifying why it shouldn't be this conspiracy. It's frightening because there are people who are trying to construct an argument that seems to me so flawed in basic civic knowledge of how the government governs in the way in which we profess it to this in this republic, that you can't, for me, hear a concise argument. It's so tangential, the point that this is why we're in this state of flux, and it's very frustrating because it says they've done a very good job in making Americans less informed than they ought to be about how their government works and what we say we represent and hold up in principle as of this Constitution. And there's nothing more important than this body, that document that governs us, that tells us how we're to govern or conduct our affairs, when that's violated, because it all bets are off. And I, as an African-American, have to say this. If anybody had a reason to destroy that contract and see it violated, it's the African-American who witnessed tyranny, oppression, and all of those things through historically, through the centuries of America's conception, that says, I have to hold on to this. Because if not that, I should have burnt this place down a long time ago, because you guys don't believe in it. That's clear. And I don't want to get off on a tangent, but my point is just this, that yes, I think the evidence being presented is very strong. This guy already opened his mouth and put his foot in it, and he proved it, what he had done, it was done. He heard it from the horse's mouth. And I don't see anybody, you can't, oh, he didn't mean this, he didn't mean that. I think he said what he meant, and he did it. And now everybody's just too scared, or they're genuflecting because those in the Republican Party, we know where they stand. And yeah, there might be some ulterior motives by the Democrats to some extent, but this impeachment has to go forth, if only to protect the illusion of a democracy or a republic. And I'm not saying it's false. I'm saying it's very concrete and real, and the evidence is being put forth. And I can't see how we can't see, or how it gets just convoluted or obscured by these other notions. Oh, he's a good guy. He's not a racist. He's not a, really, he's doing a good job in the economy. None of that is true. But that's my comment, and I'd like to hear what your thoughts are.
Well, it's more, I hate to do this to you, but it's really more about taking guidance from you as to how these things are resonating with you. Knowing what you know, or feeling and believing what you feel and believe. Which, my thing is not to tell you what you are to believe, but to find out where you are in the scheme of things. And what you just suggested to us is that you have a pretty good handle on it.
just that. No person is above the law. If you and I know we have all distortions of that, but this is clearly a case of where authoritarianism and this so flawed individual who just disgusting. I don't hate him. Hate is a strong word. I detest him for who he stands and says he is. And as a president, he should not be there. And he's proven it. He's convicted or implicated himself. And I'm glad he did, because he can't get out of his own way. There's nothing more true to who he is by him standing and tweeting and doing all the things he's telling you up front. We keep looking for decorum, and there is none. So what are we to do?
We have to come to terms with the fact that this country has been irreparably changed. How? We will have to discuss that. But it has changed. And he, Donald Trump, is the reason for it.
I disagree with you. I don't think Donald Trump is the reason for the change. I think he just brought out the raw, barbaric nature of some of the things that America has been doing all along. The underbelly of America Donald Trump represents. He brought the sewage up. And this is what it's exposing. We all have these things within us. The question is, do we agree that we're going to be reasonable, rational beings?
But I would say he has changed it on the basis of how he completely overturned his understanding of his role as President of the United States, his understanding of what democracy historically has meant, his idea of his power, and it is unilateral power. He doesn't know how to be president, and he doesn't intend to be that kind of president.
We are at the fulcrum of deciding whether his way or the highway is where we go. At this point, this decision is to say, no, this is enough. This is enough. We've seen everything, and it's contrary to the notion of American Democratic Republic, or a republic that wants to practice democracy. This guy's notion is that he's king. He's never had to go be in consensus with anything. That's something unique to his particular person and his own development. But is contrary to the notion of what we have in principle as a country.
Or is it that we, the people, have been operating on false assumptions for a long time?
Yes.
There we go. Well, thank you for calling in today contributing. I enjoyed talking with you. Albert from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
I have to admit something, and I want to change the pace. I'm going to be on target, but I am amazed at what I hear, and I'm also amazed at what I'm thinking. 2 points. One, the way history is being presented to us is virtually changed within days, hours, weeks of when we hear it. Getting to the green thing, we all know he gave this wonderful concept of why the president needs to be impeached. All during this time, Nancy Pelosi has been running around talking about, we don't need to impeach him, blah, 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 the whole nine yards. I look up at TV over the weekend, or I think Friday, and I'm actually looking at a picture on the news line screaming beneath, Nancy Pelosi leads the charge for impeachment. Now, I'm totally offended. I'm not the brightest tool, or I guess the sharpest tool in the shed, but how in the world am I supposed to believe or deal with any of this garbage when the very woman who would turn around and tell you what she doesn't believe in and isn't actively not participated, but because of circumstances, now the press is willing to give her credit for leading the charge, one. That bothers me.
This is how it works.
The other part that bothers me.
And this is why I raised the question, should this be her swan song? But, people have to make that decision. But it's just that they operate with incomplete or incorrect information.
It's not a strong song for me, because if you even think about what you're looking at, the other part that I find astounding, and this is being thrown out there as a, what's the word I'm looking for, a concept. In life, you go through and you think you know something about something, perhaps, or you have some ideas about something. I don't care what it is. I'm sorry to admit, and it may be my ignorance, but to this day, I couldn't really sit here and tell you, based on the news I've heard, the news I've read, the shows I've seen, what in the world are these congressmen discussing about this impeachment? And it's went on gobbledygook for weeks. Now they're telling me, oh, we're ready to finalize the impeachment. What are they finalizing? Right now, I would think with the most simple program, no concepts have been sent over. I would like to know one, two, three things that they're actually considering impeaching him for. I don't hear any talk about that. Also, here's about the discussions going on. Of course, these attorneys are much smarter than I am, obviously. But Al Green came out and said what he had to say. Months later, I'm hearing this, and I could not tell you honestly what are these people actually discussing. And that scares me, because the truth of the matter is, when I look at that, the way I react to it, I would not be surprised if these people come out and decide they don't have a basis to impeach this guy on after wasting all these weeks. I don't know what they're talking about. Now, again, I'm trying to do some research, but I'm just throwing that out there for thought. What are they really discussing? I mean, I know we know basically the idiotic things he's done, but the Congress isn't saying that directly. All you hear is about the discussions. You hear all these lateral side discussions. But one, two, three, who do we impeach you for? Did this guy shoot somebody? I don't know. Did this guy violate the laws? Well, because these guys make it up as they go, or they have the decision over it. They do the fancy footwork. The trouble is, I'm still back to the point where I don't know what this guy's being impeached for. I mean, I know what I think, but I'm saying, what are they discussing that they're coming to finalize on? Let's say tomorrow morning they come, oh, I don't know what they're talking about. And I know that seems ignorant, and I'm sorry to appear that way, and I didn't like to think that I was ignorant.
It is not ignorant. Let me disabuse you of that notion. It is the natural result of a scenario that has been carefully crafted to influence your thinking, influence everybody.
I'm sure you know.
And that's why it's so important to talk. what you just said is what people are thinking. You are expressing the views of perhaps millions of people. What the heck are they talking about?
That's my whole... I feel badly because I'm thinking here... I mean, I wouldn't be, that's why I would not be surprised at whatever I hear when they come out and say, finally, this is what we're going to impeach him. Because if they didn't have enough to talk about with the first initial Al Green attempt, and then you got this news media where Nancy Pelosi has had her heels dug into the sand for months, and then they're going to actually sit there and expect me to accept some crap like she's leading the charge? How the hell do you lead a charge from behind a rock?
Well, I thank you for your keen observation. You see, this is what we need. This is why the radio program exists. So that you can express ideas that you are now convinced make no sense. You feel out. Out of the loop, because you're talking a language nobody else is talking. and yet it is most logical to me. It is most natural to me, what you're saying.
Well, I'm glad to have an opportunity to express my feelings because, like I said, I don't consider myself to be totally not too bright. But like I said, you go to school. I know this sounds stupid, maybe, but, you know, how much is two or two? Four, okay, whatever they hold up the hand. Or about the most simple things you could ask a couple of facts. I defy you. I hate to say this, but I hear these people, all people call in, and I don't hear anybody talking about what the hell they're actually trying to teach this guy for. Now, I know I may sound off base, but I don't have the slightest idea what you're talking about. It's like going into a drug pharmacy.
You don't have the slightest idea what they're talking about.
No, walk in. I mean, one of the big shocks I had was they tell you that Percocet is bad for you. You go into a hospital and they're virtually handing that stuff out like candy for pain. I love this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel? Well, 8, you know. Well, you want some Percocet? No, I don't want to get addicted. You've been telling me that. Just let me have an aspirin. Try getting a damned aspirin in a hospital, which isn't necessarily the best thing for you, but it certainly isn't addictive.
But
you see, man, they hand stuff out, and like I said, I'm just waiting around. And I have got one conclusion, and then I'll let you go and let somebody else on here. But my conclusion is this: I would not be surprised at anything that comes up, and I called the last time I thought he would be president, and I'll tell you, I think he's got the best shot now, because with the way the Democratic Party that calls themselves that are running the show, that's just a laugh-in. And the way we don't have a real legitimate front runner. But here's the other thing. I haven't heard anybody say this one, and I'm going
to
end up
on. We have to move on. I'm sorry, but we're running low and tight on time. But your points are well taken, especially the idea that as a supposedly involved person who is said, you know, that they're talking about the people and what they need to do to be involved. What you're reporting is what a lot of people are experiencing. And that is, I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea where I come in, or if I come in to the picture. That is the thing that they're missing. They don't seem to understand that. Thanks so much for calling in today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gamba from Florida, you're on the air.
Greetings to all.
Thank you. In
my heart of hearts, I certainly think that he will be reelected. But I also, I guess I'm nuanced. I think about Yemen and all the military armament that they're selling, and he is just promoting that. People are dying. And we aren't feeling it here, but 4 servicemen down in Pensacola, Florida get killed, and we hurting. You know, I think about the Central Park 5. I think about the contractors that he has gypped, and I personally know one that he's gypped over the years. I think about Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, where he has stymied the growth in that county because he doesn't want airplanes flying close to his resort and his house and all of this. So I'm really nuanced. And if they could get him for frying an egg, let them get him, you know, because the web that he has so well sewn over the years with his old lawyers, Mr. Roy Cohen and Stephen Cohen, and Roger, what's his name? however, whoever.
Stone.
If they could get him for Stone, if they could get him for kicking a stone, let them get him. All of them, you know, I don't care. I really wish that we could really muster up and truly do like the people in France and stop the madness. But it won't happen. So let the dance go on.
Why won't it happen, in your view? Why won't it happen?
I work in the travel industry. And there are 30 of us as technicians. And I am one of four black men there. And the preponderance of my white colleagues see this man as Jesus or Jesus Christ. We're not going to change anything. We can't change their mind. They come in there and they turn on that Fox News and they are so riveted to it. They know they cannot approach me because they don't know their history. And as Marcus says, a man who doesn't have a knowledge of his history is doomed to repeat the things that have, you know, done in the past, that were done in the past. So it's disheartening. I may sound negative, but Mr. Trump gonna get back in there and the show goes on.
But there are hearings and there are people getting together and having meetings and they pondering what to do, and they now formalizing charges. If charges are to be formalized, that's what they're doing now. How could you be so bereft of confidence that this is the right thing to do?
I really wish. I'm like they say, you know, I'm praying. I'm doing everything in the metaphysic world that would send a signal out to create some true change, a sea change maybe. But from what I'm getting on the ground at work, where I work, he has given them a renewed, invigorated feeling of white supremacy. I'll put it like that. Their daddy has given them another lease on life because they have been taken advantage of. That is the overall sentiment that has been signaled to me. I went to the post office the other day, and the conditioning of the minds of the white public is such that they have been taken advantage of, and Mr. Donald Trump is the strong man that has given them this new revived assurance that this is their white land, and everything else does not matter. My take on it. I'm sorry.
Well, thank you. Thank you for elucidating your points so that we don't have to agree with them. We just have to understand them, where you stand and why you stand where you stand. And that's really instructive to me. Thanks for calling in. Well, here's the thing. This is how I think we best use this medium, just talking, exchanging ideas. You're not required to be right, and it's no major calamity if you're wrong. If you say, I'm interested in that you're thinking, and you're thinking logically, and you're developing the capacity of your mind to understand and interpret the world that we share. What's happening in it? Who is running it? How are they running it? This is what's going on in Washington today. Yes, they are going to be formalizing, they're going to be thinking, they're going to be huddling, they're going to be putting their brains together to find out what they intend to do about Donald Trump. Here's the thing. They all recognize that he is the point person, whether they like him or not. He is the point person. They are actually responding to him, not to you and me. They're responding to him. He has taken this issue and made them react. They're all reacting. Everybody's reacting, not acting. Everybody's reacting. And even if they were to come up with charges and they were to succeed, let's say, in impeaching him, they're still reacting. He definitively has become the central point of just about every political discussion. Look at it this way. Here's Nancy Pelosi, who is the reputed head of the Democratic Party. She is the House Speaker. It has been at least 2 years that people have been pointing to her what needs to be done. She decides, I am not agreeing with that, so it won't be done. 2 years, and she's still in office. And worse, she is like the queen. She has done so much damage simply by doing nothing. This effort being conducted today in Washington is an anti-democratic move. Why? Do you see people of color in abundance or commensurate with their presence in Congress? No, they're out of it. Well, we're out of time. So we'll come back to this and finish it up tomorrow and do some more thinking. It's okay to think. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die.